understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
it is Monday. We're reluctant to start the show. That's a sign it's a Monday, that's for sure. Joel here, and another edition of The Gray Area. He was here, then he ran away on me. So we have a lot. We haven't been on for a couple of weeks yet here in The Gray Area, so we got a lot to talk about. Yesterday, our last week was a good week. I was off, and Gray and everybody were filling in here, so we stayed on the air, and everything's good. So we had a lot to talk about, and we got a lot to talk about as far as what is a vacation. What do you consider to be? Everybody has their own. I think Toby's definition of a vacation is every day at the 98Q studio. I think Toby, our house dog, and Gray Gunderson is back with us. He survived.
Darn dog.
He survived double, triple, quadruple duty last week.
Yes, all indeed. Over the place. I complain plenty about it. So it's fine. I don't get any pats on the back. I had choices. You could either commend me today or I could complain last week, and I made that choice for you.
It was a
great time. That was really fun, actually. I don't know how you do it, though. There's so much more. You make this look easy, and it is not. Like, you get through the day, you feel like everything went well, and then, like, you realize it's 10:15, and I'm like, Mike McKay is blowing up my phone, and I'm late. Like, I need to. There's so many things. And Wednesday, don't even get me started. Wednesday was so fun, though. Reality radio was a great time. Yeah. But we need you here, so don't do it again.
Everybody has their idea of what a vacation is. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I found out last week that I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I've been blessed in my life, been able to travel and do stuff and see things. And my idea last week of a vacation was not what it ended up being. I wasn't feeling good, and we kind of hung out at home and didn't do a whole lot. But sometimes I think we need to simplify vacations and put so much pressure on ourselves to say, oh, I have a week off. We need to run here. We need to do this. And the end of the week comes and you're just like, oh, was that really a vacation I just had? Or what was that I just did last week?
Time flies when you're having fun, but you end up not feeling like you relaxed at all. Yeah. I know I set some expectations. I let the people know you were most likely, if I was a betting man, if I'd set the Vegas odds on it, number one, most likely activity for Joel in a week off, gardening.
Yeah,
I chose gardening or painting. I said painting because you'd been really high on some painting.
There was some painting. There was some gardening. There was no setting of alarm clocks.
Did you? The third activity I mentioned was hunting through auctions and yard sales.
We did go citywide garage sales. It was really weird Friday morning because typically my wife and I, if we go to garage sales, they're midday Saturday. where everybody's trying to pawn their stuff off on you. Yeah, either take it or it's going to go into the dumpster. So that's usually Saturdays is when we. So it was Friday morning, and we're all garage sailing, and people are looking at me and like, shouldn't you be on the radio? How come you're not on the radio? And I got to actually hit garage sales that had stuff that hadn't been perused over by everybody. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I think we hit like 8 or 10 garage sales on Friday. My wife always number one, where's the free box? She's such a thrifter. I love her.
Where's the free box? You know, there is some really good stuff out there to be had, though. I really do. Yeah. Like, even if you just look closer at some of the dusty stuff, like not long ago, actually just before I started working here, I was still at St. Croix. I'd caught the fishing bug hard because I sat there talking about fishing all day. So I finally fell in love with it the way I'd kind of wanted to before. And we were yard sailing that year, and I found in the $5 box, not the free box, but the $5 box, a reel, a casting style reel. And it was a not great brand, but it was one that you'd recognize from certain store shelves, and it was coated in dust. But I gave it a spin and it felt smooth. And I thought, hey, if that thing can, you know, if the drag works, if everything were $5, I thought, hey, sure, that saved me $45. There's still gems to be had. And people had picked over that one. You know, it's still worth it, even if there's been a few hands through. You just got to look that much closer and be that much luckier. Sure.
Yeah, it was very well organized. Hats off to a chamber and folks who put it all together. The signs were really good. So we had a good time garage selling. Didn't find any. Yeah, I found a few things. My wife, usually when we go to garage sales or we go to thrift stores, I end up, we come back and everything's for me. I got a t-shirt, I got this or whatever. But this time it was all about my wife. I don't think I found anything. So
nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
So it was very nice. The hot weather was a bit much last week. I don't know if you're a hot, humid guy, but that was,
It's a dangerous line for me because it's well known, I'm often and loud about it, that I take cold very poorly. But you'd think, okay, cool, so go to the desert, go to the hot climes. The only thing that I take worse than being really cold is being too hot. So I am comfortable in the warm. You know, 75 degrees, I'm A-okay. But once you get into that 90 and I've got to move around a bit, once I get into that too warm range, it's so much worse than being cold. So I've got a discipline issue. I need to figure out how to just be okay regardless of where I'm at, because I've got problems with both ends, and that's, you can't have it all three ways.
I'm good with hot in the shade. It can be 95 and humid. In the shade, I'm good. The sun, that's not me.
Well, it's all about activity level. My dad's out there scraping grass from underneath the lawnmower deck in the hot sun, and he's crawled underneath the lawnmower to do that, and it's like, stop.
Yeah. Summer arrived real fast. It was fun weekend over in Hayward. You were there. I was there at Muskie Fest in Hayward. Just a crazy number of people that make their way into Hayward for that event. That was nuts.
You know, you spend a couple hours going booth to booth and trying not to buy all kinds of things for yourself and for your significant other and for your family. Like, you could stock up on every gift you need for a year within a couple booths, and then you turn the corner and you see that there are literally 200 more crafters and vendors that you didn't even know were there. It was absolutely absurd. Hayward was invaded by white tarps and tents, which got battered about pretty hard Friday night.
Took a hit.
Oh man! Shout out to everybody who put in all the crazy effort over there.
They recovered well. I was there about noon on Saturday, and it was all. You can never tell what happened. Everybody recovered well. It was
to judge by the Facebook posts and comments, it was a borderline apocalyptic. It's just a waiting decision from the city. You know, like no, we're not. It's not a state of emergency. Just gotta unbend some frames.
It was fine. It was as normal as could be, and all the people. And I determined something over the weekend. I thought about how to approach this because my first thought was, as even in Park Falls, we've noticed the increase in traffic and all this stuff going on here with the tourists and stuff. And my first inclination was to come on the air and just say, there's too many people, go home, okay? And I thought, no, that's not going to fly well, so I'm not going to say that. Oh, wait a minute, I just did. So I'm going to rephrase it is, we love having all of you here. It's great for the economy and all that stuff. Just get out of my way. Is that better? Is that any better?
No,
it's not. Dang it, I didn't do it.
It's worth debating whether it's better, but I don't know that you're going to just win out of hand.
But it does warm my heart. When I walk into a Quick Trip or walk into BP, and you can sense the tourist. You know they're there with the young kids and the excitement of the summer and being in the north, and you know they're going to go swimming and they're going to go pulling the tube behind the boat and all that stuff. I enjoy that part of summer, is seeing families and seeing people and the youngins, and just knowing that this is their vacation, this is their family time, and it's fun for me to see that.
Well, that's what the area needs, especially if it's going to be tourism based. If it's going to continue through time as it evolves through becoming a tourism based area, what needs to happen is that people have to fall in love with it. People have to come up here. People have to make memories. And yes, absolutely, those people must be from out of town or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We're in kind of a unique situation where the locals are adjusting to becoming a tourism-based industry, which is not necessarily something everybody enjoys, but it's entirely necessary. You know, we're a shrinking town, and there's only so many ways to address that, and I don't see many new factories being built. So we've got to appeal to the people who need to drive a couple hours to get up here, and we've got to coexist with them, which means they've got to give us certain graces. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that means as the area grows. But I know I look around and I rest assured that something will keep it continuing. You know, maybe it'll return maybe not too long. We'll be more where we were about 20 years ago, where it was a lot quieter around here, but because there were a couple key industries and less curb appeal. You know, not to say the area is going to get uglier, but it's these things move in cycles.
It's
and
a transition, and it's not a quick transition.
Right,
it's a long transition.
Park Falls isn't growing in general. Price County's not growing in general. There are people coming here, but less than are generally leaving or going away for the various reasons people go away.
That's what makes the Northwoods unique, because if you want to come up and you want to go to Hayward, to Muskie Fest, where it feels like you're in downtown Minneapolis with the crowds, I mean, it was huge. You can go 60 miles east and come to Park Falls, where it's pretty quiet.
Right.
It's quieter. There's still people here, but they're just spread out more. They're at the resorts. They're spread out, and people want to go to their cabins, and they just want to fish and just kind of be left alone, and everybody has their own personality. I have a better way to put it, all right? We want you here, but just not in our way. How about that? Is that better?
It's not going to work that way.
Dang
it's not going to work that way. I like the diplomacy of the wording, Joel, but that just makes it all the more ineffective.
I know.
As better internet arrives, as the brand new vehicles start coming through, you know, you see the small signs. But that said, you know, people come here because they have certain things appeal to them, and they're the things that I think we are the most proud of. And yeah, in a lot of cases, they don't understand the hard work that goes into it. So you'll have friction and you'll have those interactions. But that's how places grow. There's no other way. I'm looking forward to it.
And there is one thing that I want to point out that I really think we should pass a law in the North. That people should not be allowed. We have enough deer up here, all right? You don't need to put a fake deer in your front yard, all right? Especially when you're out in the country and you're driving around at dusk and you're trying to deer, you're like deer, just like you see the deer, and I'm not the only one. Everybody looks at it and just like, really? This is like putting a fake bear inside of Bearland USA in Rapid City, South Dakota. We don't need fake deer in our yards in northern Wisconsin, right?
Did you swerve about a fake deer while you were on vacation, Joel?
Well, I didn't, but my wife was helping me spot deer on the way home from, I think we went to Ironwood one day last week, and she said all she said was, oh, that's a fake deer, really? And I thought, okay, that's good sarcasm. I like that. I like that a lot. If you want to put a fake deer in your yard, well, good for you. But we don't really need them. They're really not necessary, because if you wait just long enough, the real one will come along.
You know, I didn't actually look at the topic list deeply enough. I missed that fake deer was here. I didn't develop feelings about them. I would have tried to at least formulate opinion, because it's, you know, they're one of those things you notice, and they're relatively common up here. I don't know. I'm definitely generally okay with them, but yeah, give me a bit. We'll circle back to that one. I need to develop my feelings about fake deer.
So when we went to Ironwood on, I don't know, it was Wednesday, I think we ran up there just to do a little shopping and just kind of a little drive. It was a nice day for a drive, and we drove to Ironwood We went to Butternut and took F and double F across to Mercer, which is a scenic and winding drive out there.
Gorgeous.
Into
gorgeous
Iron County, a gorgeous area. But as I'm driving F and double F, I'm thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure that if I contacted Maxine at the Butternut Historical Society or someone with the Historical Society, I think history somewhere will have shown that the person who designed and laid out the eastern half of F and double F was definitely severely intoxicated when they made that road, because I don't get, I want to know the history of the winding of the, just the wind, just the quick lefts and rights. And it probably had a property issue way back when in a gravel road, but I'm thinking to myself, what drunk guy made this road 150 years ago, double F over there?
Oh, see, that's, I think it's absolutely glorious, the kinds of those ripple effects that we can see through time. What immediately comes to mind are my neighbors and the property lines that are right next door to me. If you look at them, you'll see that's a mostly straight line. And then all of a sudden, just boink, we went around something that's definitely not something there before. I mean, like, this property line deviates by like 10 feet for a 10-foot stretch, just kind of, and then it goes back to where it was.
Perfect sound effect.
Well, you know what I mean. When I think that's the radio version of what that thing looks like. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that was because of a lot of handshake deals. It was because one person was in charge of a lot of decisions that ended up setting in stone. And I think that road might be something, you know, who knows what it went around. Maybe there was a cabin around each little swoop. You know, maybe it was just, maybe that was the trail you walked to go to all your buddies' houses on Friday. You know, but...
know what it was.
That's what got, it's whatever got paved, that's for sure.
It was so, it was so confusing that even my GPS monitoring in my car was confused, because I have the thing where if I cross like the center line, my car will just go beep beep, and yep, it would kind of gently nudge you back over. There were several times where I was right in the middle of my lane and the GPS said beep beep, what are you doing here, how can you possibly be going left and right 17 times within a quarter mile, what's going on here?
No, there's a spot up there, we go up there too because they've got like that Ollie's just opened up, and they've got the right. Marshalls that we certainly don't need to visit, and that little plaza there.
Yeah, it's nice area.
But there's a very particular spot depending on which route you're taking through there, where it says turn right, or it used to, I think it's finally stopped, it used to say turn right down what used to be an ATV trail. I mean, it's like a disused 10 years ago, you can kind of see, and it's telling me to drive my car down it.
Oh, no.
There is no transition off of the shoulder to what it's saying I should travel down. You could just kind of see it in the distance. I'm thinking, cool, yeah, if I ever bring a monster truck, we might give that a rip, but I don't know, there's still some sketchy areas in the GPS system. Yeah. I don't know anything about how that works, but that it tries to kill me on rare occasion. It's, I think Skynet, that's how it makes its attempts. You know, it thinks it's going to wake you up with a turn right now. Okay. And off you go, careening into the elms.
All right, more of the gray area coming up here. We do this Monday mornings. We haven't done it for a couple weeks. We got a lot of other topics to get to. Stay tuned on the other side of the news. More of the gray area here on 98Q.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This morning, Pentagon experts continue assessing how much damage the U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign ministers in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment. ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
This move by the president is dividing the Republican Party. He campaigned on keeping America out of foreign conflict. So on one end, Republican leadership standing by the president, supporting this move. But a handful of Republicans are speaking out, including Congressman Thomas Massie, calling the president's moves here unconstitutional.
More air attacks between Iran and Israel today. Crude oil prices jumped, fell, then regained about half the losses today. Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. In the seventh game, the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Joel Koenig, filling in for Austin Brume. We're brought to you by Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua, your trusted hometown dealer for new Chevrolet vehicles and service. A group of lawmakers helping people facing deportation is growing amid an increase in deportations from the Trump administration. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Grant Sovereign is the president of the board of the Community Immigration Law Center. Essentially, the people there work like public defenders for folks who need immigration lawyers. Technically, immigration offenses are civil, not criminal.
We all know what a public defender is. If you can't afford one, you certainly shouldn't go to jail simply because you can't afford a lawyer. But that's exactly what happens in the immigration context, is you can sit in detention, which is a jail, for 6 months, a year, 18 months.
They've been busy since the Trump administration ramped up efforts to deport people and deport them quickly. The only ICE detention facility in Wisconsin is in Juneau.
All of their 200 beds seem to be full with immigrants these days.
Silk exists to make sure everyone gets due process.
We have rules. We all want the rules to apply to everybody, but we all want those rules to apply evenly, and not just because you can afford a lawyer, you can't afford a lawyer, or there aren't enough available. In Wisconsin, there's probably maybe 10 or 15 lawyers who know how to do deportation defense because it hasn't been an issue before.
Now, Silk wants to expand and be able to help more people.
We would like to be a public defender service for the whole state. We have 6 lawyers now who spend weekends and nights trying to help people.
The Community Immigration Law Center is holding a fundraiser with a matching grant from the Madison Community Foundation. The goal is to raise $100,000 in June. We'll have a link at civicmedia.us. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Well, big weekend this weekend, the 20th annual Masonic Golf Outing, raising money for scholarships for our area kids. It's a two-person scramble. And for more information and to get your team signed up, call to Westwood Golf Course in Phillips at 715-339-3600. Again, this Saturday, the 28th of June at Westwood in Phillips. A new group is starting to take action in an effort to save our pollinators. Terry Barr explains.
Lawmakers are considering a pollinator protection package of bills, which could lead to the regulation of insecticides across the state. Clean Wisconsin's Amy Barrio says it's the opportunity to make a difference right now.
Huge decline in pollinator populations. In some areas, a 90% decline. And that is concerning when you think about one out of every 3 bites of food we take because of pollinators. They made it happen. Our cranberries, our apples, our fruits and vegetables, all kinds of things, our nuts. They are part of an important ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And they are telling us there's something wrong.
Similar bills did not pass in 2021, but Barrio says this time there's a new group made up of environmental and agriculture organizations educating about the importance of pollinators, along with supporting the policies to protect their health and sustainability.
Find more news at 98qcountry.com and at civicmedia.us. Filling in for Austin Brume, I'm Joel Karnick.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates. Beginning a 3-game series at American Family Field tonight, the Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Get ready for 2 big days this year. Friday and Saturday, June 27th and 28th for Kenan Georgetown Fire Department's Truck and Tractor Pull at Kenan Memorial Park off of County N in Kenan, Wisconsin. Weigh-ins start Friday at 6 p.m. with Western Wisconsin Truck Pullers, 11 classes plus semis at 7 p.m. Saturday weigh-ins 9 to 11 a.m. with Mid-State Pullers of Wisconsin, 2 hooks per vehicle, including Track Patrol Eliminator in 3 categories. Take in family fun with a parade, children's museum, food from John and Heidi's Happy Days, raffles, and so much more. All proceeds go to Kenan Georgetown Fire Department. Don't miss it!
It's official. Wheelway Auto Body and Collision Center in Fifield is open and celebrating with a good old-fashioned cookout Thursday, June 26th from 10:30 to 1:30. Come meet their quality professional team of auto body technicians while you grab some lunch. They work with all insurance companies, offer free estimates, and will not leave you without a vehicle while your vehicle's in the shop. Wheelway Auto Body and Collision Center, taking the dent out of accidents the right way. Located on the Big Hill in Fifield on Ridge Avenue. Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
An isolated thunderstorm or two possible this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon, and there may be an isolated thunderstorm, especially well to our southeast here later today into this evening. 83 the high tomorrow, partly cloudy, 78 showers return on Wednesday with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 77.
Jane energy drink has arrived this morning. Oh yeah.
There's no caffeine. Yeah. Just a little bit of fruit, a little bit of protein, a little bit of yogurt.
Thank you, Jane, for thinking of us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, taking care of us. Appreciate it. The gray area here for a Monday morning, getting your day going with just, a little bit of everything. There's a menu every week. The menu is different. There are no prices on the menu. There are some prices to pay for some of the things that I say, but no prices on the menu.
You have to ask. You can't afford it.
I did notice last week, watching the Weather Channel when some of the severe weather was rolling through, I enjoy an aggressive meteorologist on TV. I'm talking about the one where the arms are flailing, and they're in front of the green screen, and they're like, okay, the left arm's up here and the right arm. We got a front coming in over here, and look at our West Coast over here. I mean, they're just jacked up on a pot of coffee, and it's very entertaining.
So what I just saw in the 98Q studio was basically a combination. If Jim Carrey joined the Village People, he would do what Joel just did as an example of his preference in meteorologists. Jim Carrey plus Village. Jim Carrey the Village person.
There was sometimes my wife says when I get animated talking about stuff, there was a lot of arm flailing is what she'll say. Why are you flailing your arms so much?
You look like you had feelings. There were definitely feelings in it. You know, that was better than many interpretive dances I've seen because there was emotion. What was it? I'll never know, but it was present.
We don't see it too much on the local meteorologist, more on the Weather Channel, where you get a new guy or somebody who's just maybe had to pull a double shift and he accidentally had a few too many cups of coffee, and they're really excited about Hurricane Edna that's rolling into the into the tropics, and it's airtime, baby. Sleeves are rolled up. Oh, it's wonderful.
Thunder in the winter. If you get the thunder snow going on, oh yeah, you want to see a happy nerd. Watch a weather guy in a thunderstorm. I'm serious. There are YouTube videos out there. There's a guy where he sees like six lightning bolts in the middle of the winter. Just, yes, that was another one. I mean, I've been less happy about winning money.
when the weather gets severe, that is their time. They know their audience goes probably up 10-20-fold on the National Weather Channel when the hurricanes and all that stuff roll in. So it's fun to watch.
Harmless passion. It's the best of people.
Exactly. Let's talk a little sports. I dropped off a little gift for Gray last week of an auction find that I had, a box of Packer memorabilia. And all when I'm on vacation, I don't listen to the radio too much. But I did tune in at one point, and I heard you, as I turned on the radio, I heard you say, "I've never seen so many ads for cigarettes in my life."
Yes!
And I thought, yeah, that'd be something that a generation removed from my age would not be used to seeing.
Right? Oh, it was a combination of the Scholastic Book Fair and Joe Camel's own library. I mean, it was amazing. The color block font that I've never seen since the 90s. I mean, like, see, and that was the funny thing was, so I started school in the year 2000. That means I've got most of my memories of textbooks from about 2005 till about 2010. And those were out of date textbooks, which means my 15-year-old textbooks were from about 95 and 96, mm-hmm. AKA the exact same period of all the literature that you dropped off last week. So I felt like I was looking through all of my middle school textbooks, but just with Troy Aikman in them instead of some random kid in a storybook problem. Oh, it was fantastic, though, but I wish you had heard there was one thing I mentioned, because I realized it's all Packer stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost all Packer stuff with some exceptions because there was some Favre stuff in there.
Packer magazine. And Packer Daily and the
Rhinelander Daily News from the day they won the Super Bowl, like all kinds of awesome stuff. But here's the thing, I had a bit of a realization. You are a Vikings fan, and you gave me all of the Packers stuff that you ostensibly did not want. So you basically gave me your garbage.
Well,
thank you so much, because I love your garbage, Joel, but I know realistically what that was from your perspective.
Well, when I saw
this stupid guy, he can have this stupid Packers
stuff. I saw this
stuff.
Lot on the auction. I believe it was Heckman Auction. I saw the lot on there, and I thought to myself, there's a few things in there that I might be able to grab and maybe flip on eBay or something. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, whatever I can't use, I know that Gray, the big Packer fan, will find joy in this. So I thought, okay, I've got an outlet for this, and I got it for a dollar or two or whatever it is, and there's some really good stuff in there. But you drew this scenario earlier about a Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah.
And immediately my mind was thinking of a St. Anthony's Scholastic Book Fair with Joe Camel greeting you at the doorstep in a large animated costume with somebody underneath
yes.
it who may or may not have just had a heater himself. But that's what it was, because your generation, you're not used to the guy in the cowboy hat with the cool cigarettes on the back of every yep. single magazine that I gave you.
I think I saw the very tail end of that kind of stuff. Like I do remember looking back, and I remember it being a fact as a kid that in cigarette advertising, the person with the cigarette couldn't actually be smoking. So
right,
they're all holding
right.
it in their hand, looking pretty and all that kind of stuff, doing none of the things that anybody does while they're smoking, before or after. So like, I remember it being there, but it was, you know, right as my real clear good memories start to kick in, that they just banned smoking in public establishments like bars. Like the smoking ban in bars, like you could still walk in and catch a bit of a whiff depending on how the building's been treated since that time. You know, you can kind of detect how the bar felt about that decision at the time. Though in most cases, like local establishments have done a lot to clean up. I just mean the world in general over. It's like you can walk into one, like I remember we were on the way between here and Denver. I think we were in South Dakota. I walked in somewhere and it's like, yep. You stopped cleaning the day they banned smoking in bars. I can tell. It's still here. It's still with us, like Patrick Swayze in Ghost. It's just in the room.
Oh, there's such wonderful treasures to be found. I know they advertise with us, but Scott and folks at Heckman Auction do a great job. HeckmanAuction.com. It's great entertainment. My wife and I spent a couple hours last night watching an online auction from Heckman out of Manitowish Waters, and we had a lot of fun with that. You may or may not get something out of that, too. So we'll see when we pick up tomorrow.
Well, regardless of what becomes of that, first and foremost, thank you for all that cool stuff you dropped off with me. I'll still be tearing over some of that, probably in my afternoon show today, actually. I think I might have a lot of fun because I had to pare it down a little bit on trail mix, so maybe we'll do that tomorrow morning, too. But suffice to say, I didn't need help talking Packers, but Joel gave me that help.
And what's fun about going through stuff like that 20, 30-year-old newspapers, you find yourself distracted by things that you didn't even think you were going to be distracted by, the other content that is all the Packer info, like you pointed out, a Packer watch that the newspaper was selling, and all this different stuff, how much a loaf of bread was, and just simple things like that.
If you were in Lincoln County Court the week the Packers won the Super Bowl in the late 90s,
you know,
I have a record of it. So, like, there's three people out there that, oh, man, that's not my business, but, like, I have the paper. You know, if you thought it was dead and gone, nope, one jerk in Park Falls still has that copy.
It's not online anymore. That's expired, but the newspaper doesn't expire. There's no expiration online.
Hard copy doesn't crash, baby. I still have it.
8:45 on the gray area. I did notice something over the weekend that I want to talk about just a little bit. And I think post-pandemic, I think we are now in a situation in our country where corporate America, I think, feels like they have a freedom to overcharge. And I think it's bled down into other parts of life, too, where there's certain things in our life that we shop for and stuff. And you look at the price and you're like, 20-ounce bottle of soda has gone from 99 cents to $2.99 in like 3 years. That's quite a jump. And it seems like we've settled into this. I noticed it even at Muskie Fest and the price of food at carnivals and stuff like that. I'm always willing to support the Lions Club and all that stuff. But when you walk up to a booth and, a cheeseburger is $10, and it's just a cheeseburger, and a brat is $8, you're like, all right, I know prices have gone up, but let's do the math here. There's eight brats in a package and the 64. All right, so you're making pretty good money off this.
Yep.
I think there's kind of a freedom to overprice. It seems like.
I think what a lot of that actually is one of the growing pains of that tourism transition we were talking about earlier. I mean, like, we're immediately right back where we were talking about that because you've got people coming in from out of town and they're used to paying similar prices at common events. You know, if you're hanging out in Chicago for a day, a $10 hot dog, you're not even blinking. Regardless of where you're grabbing it, that's a more reasonable price down there. So these people come up here and they're not blinking at those prices. That will become the fuel of the industry, which means the locals get priced out of things. Airbnb is the next version. You're going to get me in trouble. I'm going to turn this into politics. But, like, no, it happens so fast. It happened so fast. How long ago did Flamborama have what seemed like more reasonable prices to us here in Park Falls? And how do they get away with it? Well, people are buying it. People are buying it left and right. The same way, like, look at housing prices if you live on a lake here north of 8 in the last 5 years since the pandemic. Again, the pandemic is the timing to do with all of it. How can people charge these ridiculous prices for these houses? They're not ridiculous. That's what people are paying.
Somebody will pay it.
Exactly.
Somebody will, not a high percentage, but that's, I guess, people will say that's the basis of capitalism right there.
Yes.
You're right. The hot dog may be $10, and half the people may walk by and say, I'm not paying $10 for the hot dog, but enough said yes to it to keep that capitalism part of that business still going.
So what do? I see an opportunity because I can undercut my competitor. I can start my own hot dog stand, and I'll just charge a couple dollars less because I know I could still make a profit less than their prices. But the moment I try to do that, I find that I'm paying more overhead for deliveries, for advertising, because I'm not available. I'm not capable of buying in the bulk that they are. Mm-hmm. And they've got such a large chunk of their vendors. You know, if I was a beautiful blue and white national chain store, whose name I will not say, after I have devoted a certain amount of your inventory to me, you know, if 80% of your sales go to me, what happens when I say, okay, I now want to pay a dollar less per unit? Are you going to say no? You're going to lose 80% of your sales? No. So all of a sudden, I don't have the actual competitive power that my larger free market brethren do. And that is like, yeah, capitalism led us to that way, but the end result is less competition from small businesses.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even know the actual intricacies, but even, you know, you can zoom out and you can look at the landscape of how these things come to pass and see that, okay, yes, if you're an extraordinarily clever small business owner, or if you've got a, you know, if you're a bar and restaurant in a tourism-based place, cool, there's a certain security to that. But if you want to be a business that starts in a small town garage and grow, it's a more uphill climb than ever before. Your competition is handed a lot of, I mean, you've got stock buybacks, you've got tax breaks, just because your competitors are so big that they can earn that.
Right.
I mean, and that's tough. I admire people who start a business of any flavor, period. But let alone if it's one that you hope to grow and become a competitor with national industry. Holy cow, I want to know what you know, because that's a rough landscape right now.
Yeah, and talking about the pricing, I fully grab the concept that there are certain things that are going to cost more due to wage increases and a lot of things. Even something as simple as a hamburger, I kind of get it. The cost of processing that beef and all that stuff. But then my complaint is that when I look at certain foods and I think to myself, okay, the process of making that food isn't quite as dramatic as this might be, this tomato that had to come from Central America or whatever it might be. This is a bottle of sugar water, or and the prices. And I think that those corporations, they look at all the price increases and they think, you know what? We can get away with this. We can get away with charging X dollars more and make more money. And you know what? People are still going to buy it if we do it across the board, because it's kind of become part of the life. So.
And the temptations change, I think, if your business grows to that size. You know, I've thought of it before, the economy of scale. You know, it's why would you sacrifice the quality of your product? Well, because if I remove 5% of this one ingredient with the number of bottles we sell in a year, all of a sudden I've saved our shareholders $18 million over 2 years. Like, the numbers just inflate so fast when you're that size that those decisions that diminish the quality of the product, you suddenly begin to understand. You know, it's like, okay, why would I ever, you know, if I'm the guy who invented Oreos, why would I ever let them make Oreos worse? Well, sir, if we remove the dairy, your price margins just explode. And like, it's money, it's tempting, we're human. So I'd like to believe I'd be immune to it. But no way. I'd make bad decisions for the product in order to line my own pockets.
And shrinkflation is so hard to see. The product shrinking, but my wife pointed something out just yesterday, in fact. She told me, as I was grabbing a Kleenex and getting over the bug I had last week, she said, just out of nowhere, she said, Joel, take your hand and put it inside of that Kleenex, a little square Kleenex box, you know, the typical square Kleenex box. She said, take your hand and put it inside of that Kleenex box. So I put my fingers down in there and kind of felt, and it was a fairly newly opened Kleenex box. We have a Kleenex box that, back to the auctions now, that we bought a closet, basically, of stuff from an auction. You get all the bathroom stuff and cleaning supplies. A box of Kleenexes dated 1999. A box, a square box, not the rectangular, long rectangular, the square box. And we haven't used hardly any of those Kleenexes, but they are there. They're not the lotion, the fancy lotion ones they have now. And she said, put your finger inside of that one. And I put it in there. And it was like, you put it in like a quarter inch, and it was full, full of a roll of tissues. Whereas the box you buy now, same size box, exact same size box, but the number of tissues that were inside there, probably less than half of what it was before. So there, that is a definition of shrinkflation, where you don't even really notice it. You don't see that the product is less than what it used to be.
I mean, and it's a combination of like 18 different things. Among them are that it's been a slow change over time. You know, you make slow general changes, and of course you've got the product shrinking as the dollar gets less and less valuable relative to it. So the relationship between dollars per unit is more and more skewed than ever before. And why would anybody do something about it when the people who could collect checks from the people making these choices? I mean, it's not political to say that lobbying is the reason so many things are the way they are. Corporations are afforded free speech, and their donations to political campaigns are seen as free speech. So, like, in the fight for making a change, you know, if everybody in the country decided, hey, we need Kleenex to fulfill their obligation to actually fill their boxes again, cool. You know what Kleenex would say? Probably a bunch of stuff, politically speaking. They'd run a PR campaign. But what they definitely do is donate a bunch of money to the politicians who would eventually be voting on that issue. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and until something about that system changes, no, money runs the system. And I don't even blame anybody involved for it, because that's what humans do. If money can run the system, money will run the system. And that does create some free market results. But eventually, in this mutated version we've got, I think it chokes out the underbrush. We've got a canopy so large and so thick at the top that nothing can grow up from underneath.
My quick tip for folks is, my wife is a very thrifty person. I've said that many times before. And she's a bargain hunter. And you can, if you pay attention, all right, to your local grocery store and to the dollar stores and whatever it may be, the Quick Trips or whatever, if you pay attention, all right, you can shop, you can save a lot of money. You can save a lot of money on shopping if that's what you want to do, if that's important to you, because there are a lot of bargains to be had. There are certain stores that a product is 50% more than it is at another store or whatever it might be. So there's money to be saved out there on groceries, but you can't just do it by saying, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store and look for sale prices. Now, if you really want to be a bargain hunter, you got to go to different places. That's just the way that shopping is now, and there are deals to be had out there. You just got to pay attention and work a little bit at it.
Yeah, you got to get closer to ever before than that loony couponer that, that you know from down the road. Like, hey, they're more reasonable. Like, they called it. That couponer, that coupon, yes, that one, that friend you got, you might want to call them up and ask him for some tips, because they're still paying $5 for a full cart full of groceries. And yeah, there's some weird stuff in there. Yeah, some quinoa exactly. That's going to last you through the next nuclear event. But, like, it's better than not having food around, let me tell you.
Exactly. Well, before we wrap it up, I want to give a quick mention. Wisconsin guy Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers last night, they lost to Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals. First time in 9 years that we've had a Game 7. For those of you who think there's a conspiracy in professional sports to always have a Game 7 because everybody will make more money, it's been 9 years since we've had a Game 7 in an NBA Finals. And the Wisconsin guy ripped up his ACL in the first half of that game and went down and Indiana lost. So Tyrese Halliburton, we talked with Mike Clemens, who you had a chance to talk to on Friday, about him and how he has become a superstar. So that was kind of heartbreaking for Wisconsin sports fans to see him go down.
It was. We had something. We still had some skin in the game, as it were. You know, we had no Bucks, but we had Tyrese, and then we didn't.
Yeah, Minnesota guy Chet Holmgren won a title with Oklahoma City on the other side.
What's the three-peat guy? McCaw?
The guy.
He's been part, I think, three. He's like one of six ever to three-peat.
Just keeps going to the right team every year.
Yeah, if you look at the list, it's like all-time great, all-time great, all-time great McCaw.
I know. So many times I listen to a lot of sports podcasts. They'll have so-and-so. We welcome on so-and-so athlete who was a linebacker with the Lions and the Ravens. And three-time Super Bowl champion. Three-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah. Just happened to be at the right place at
long
the right time.
Long snapper with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Got a ring. All right, Gray. We'll do it all again next Monday. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Joel.
The Gray Area. Every Monday morning from 8 to 9 here on 98Q Country.